Item number five is budget amendments. From the employee benefit work group submitting an informational report regarding what steps must occur in order to cap the backup pension. This was referred to the Committee on Finance and Personnel, and it is informational unless otherwise directed.
Morning, Chairman. Mark Grady from Corporation Counsel. Here to speak on behalf of the Employee Benefits Work Group. You have a memo from myself on behalf of the group, which basically gives you a list of reasons why we haven't started work on the capping the backdrop studies forth in the budget. Just to expand on that a little bit, the work group meets, we have no set meeting date. It varies from once a month to every couple weeks. Throughout the first 6 months of this year, especially early in the year, in January and February, we spent a lot of time talking about health insurance-related issues, getting ready for the RFPs, talking about the prescription benefit contract, which went to the county board, the Medco contract, matters related to that. We also talked about just, you know, we have a list of things to do and prioritizing the list. Since that time, of course, the budget repair bill was enacted. We worked on and presented to the county board an ordinance amendment related to AFSCME DC 48 and changes that could be made upon adoption of the state law. That has been before the county board on two cycles now. We have also worked with the actuary. In terms of the actuary's time, he's been working on the correction officer lieutenant ordinance amendments that we were came out of this committee, I believe, related to the creation of those positions and the effect on pension benefits for those positions. He also worked on the annual evaluation for the retirement system, which is done during this period of time and was submitted last month. We have been working on other issues related to the state law change and trying to figure out what to do. For example, the item later on your agenda, the ordinance amendment related to state-mandated contributions. The point is we've been doing lots of things. It's not like we haven't been doing anything. And so I do feel the need to defend the work group a little bit. We have not been sitting around doing nothing. We have been doing things. The actuary's been busy doing other things that have been assigned to him. On the other hand, we all recognize the importance of this issue. We recognize that we're already getting close to another budget cycle and the need to do something. So it's my intention, and I think the work group will agree with it, that at our next meeting, we don't have one scheduled, but at our next meeting, we will talk about going to an outside counsel. I believe that's the appropriate thing to do, to go to an outside counsel to obtain a legal opinion on what we can and cannot do, or what the range of things are that we might be able to do, if any, on the backdrop. Ms. Paul has identified funds for that in the litigation reserve account that were in the budget. It's my expectation. I don't have an estimate right now for what that will cost. I've made a couple of inquiries. I would hope it wouldn't be too expensive. It's my expectation that what we would want to do would go to one of the law firms that has prior experience with our pension fund in one way or another, either prior legal opinions or prior experience on the Mercer case or someone who knows our pension system and the laws relating to our pension system. So that's a handful of firms that we would look to. So that's what our intention is to do that, get that legal opinion, and obviously depending on what that opinion is, then talk to you about next steps.
Supervisor DeBruin, followed by Smith.
I understand the reason for the delay, and that doesn't bother me. I know that that work group is really tagged with a lot of the most key analysis in Milwaukee County at a time when key department heads, particularly in DAS, aren't in place. So I understand that. I guess my frustration is not so much on that as it is that, you know, we adopted the pension scandal pieces in 2000, and in 2001 we find out, or late in the year we find out, that there's a problem and how horrific it is. And I can't tell you how many different attorneys, both our in-counsel and outside attorneys, who have said to the Finance Committee, to the full county board, to the Judiciary Committee, that the county government has done everything it can do to revoke and limit the backdrop. We've been told that over and over and over again. And so I guess what's frustrating me is that if there's a new opportunity to reduce the financial impact of the backdrops or to prevent additional the backdrops from happening, et cetera, that's great. But why then for the last 10 years were we told we couldn't do any more than we'd done? Because if we could have done more, it would have been to the county's benefit to do that in 2001 and 2002 prior to the largest group of employees taking the backdrop. Because at this point, a lot of the individuals who are benefiting from that have come and gone, and they've taken the backdrop. So it's frustrating for me to hear that there's a possibility to significantly impact that 10 years later and 10 years after a lot of those folks have collected their money and are out the door. So I guess that's, if there is a window, great, let's use it. But I would at some point want to understand how all of a sudden we have a new opportunity that we didn't have. And is it because of the state law, the state budget law changes, or is it something that was missed all of these 10 years?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I don't want to preview an opinion that I don't have, and I don't want to suggest that there's a possibility that may not exist. We were directed to study it, and so that's what we're going to do. The answer may come back that exactly what the supervisor said, is that there is nothing we can do. I don't know what the outside opinion is going to say. We have, in fact, been operating on the assumption and on legal advice that there is nothing more that we can do. Mm-hmm. So the way I understood the budget amendment is take another look, and so that's what we're going to do.
Okay. And then if that's the emphasis of it, I understand that. And I just, I guess my only concern is, while we certainly can do that again, and it'll be something that's in writing, and I think that's helpful to maybe settle this question once and for all, the bottom line is I think it creates an expectation in the public that somehow the county could have rescinded these or reduced these last 10 years and just didn't bother to do it. Or wasn't smart enough to figure out they could have done it, and that impression is not accurate. At least from over and over and over again, we've been told in both closed session and open session by county attorneys as well as outside attorneys that the county had done everything it could. So if something new changes, great. But I would hope that. As the review goes forward, the final report makes it clear what advice was given in the last 10 years.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Supervisor, I didn't answer your question a minute ago. I wanted to do that. The state law, the budget repair bill, the budget, biennial budget, has no effect on this. So
okay.
What we're talking about is the breadth of constitutional rights that employees have to this pension benefit. And so the state law will not affect those constitutional rights if they exist. You are correct, Supervisor, that we've already the county board has received an opinion back in 2002, I believe, from White Hirschbeck Dudek, indicating that what we could do is take the benefit away from new hires, which is what you did. But it never hurts to have another lawyer or the same lawyer look at it again, see whether the lay of the land has changed in terms of legal precedents, and just take another look. I'm not saying that it's going to change, but we do want to take another look and make a decision. We have operated throughout the Mercer litigation on the premise that we could not do anything more than we have done. And so, but nevertheless, it doesn't hurt to take another look given the size of the benefit and the cost.
And, Mr. Chair, just to be clear, that's fine with me. I just want the public understanding of this is far less complicated than the reality behind the scenes, and I would really seriously request that the written document that comes back at least accounts for the last 10 years as well, especially if there's something new, because I really strongly believe that county government, regardless of who was county executive and who was on this county board, did everything they thought they were told they could possibly do in the last 10 years, and I'd hate to see the public's impression significantly change from that.
Mr. Hare, did you have something you'd like to add?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that it's also important that the benefits work group gets you better financial information. We approach every issue from really four perspectives. What's the public policy impact? What's the financial impact? How does it affect labor relations? And what are the litigation issues? Labor relations, that's ground is shifting under our feet, but we believe that the work group owes it to you to help you understand the legal, policy, and financial consequences. This is probably the least understood, even more than a decade later, it's probably the least understood benefit in the county's benefit package. And although there have been numbers, there's been analysis, it's been in the context of litigation, and it's dated. And for those two reasons, we think that we owe you a fresh look at what this benefit actually costs the county.
Supervisor Smith, followed by Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Tringy. I'd like to follow up on that. A couple of things. First, on the employee benefits group, I mean, I think we all understand the situation. I've been a member of quite a few years of finance now, and we've leaned very heavily on the employee group, or employee benefits work group, and a lot of people who just spoke, and Mr. Cady are on. They spent a lot of hours on this. We've done a terrific amount of work. The thing the public doesn't hear or doesn't get publicized, you know, we get the headlines that we're paying this out in the backdrop. What they don't talk about is that we took immediate steps after we found out the terrible repercussions and the non-information we got, the information that didn't tell us the what the real costs were. And we took immediate action. We took those benefits away at the backdrop, for example. Supervisor Bruin, the four supervisors who did this right away, and said for all non-reps, that would not be a benefit any longer. We're allowed to do that. We got corporation counsel and outside counsel advice. Weiss-Dudick and I think Hirschbeck, as you mentioned, came in and said, this is fiduciary responsibility. Once given to the unions, you cannot take it away. And that's the statement we still have today. And that's the way the law that has been written. Now, whether it can be capped or not is something I'm very interested in, because it's a benefit that others haven't been able to have. A lot of elected officials just took it away, assigned waivers. I did right away, of course, too. And also, what was mentioned should be mentioned is that we did take steps to make sure that this doesn't happen for generations to come. The Personnel Committee 4 years ago, I was chairman at that time. We took steps, of course, we couldn't take that benefit away, nor were we interested in taking a pension benefit away, but we're interested in capping, definitely. That was the big problem that was never presented, and that it should have been capped from the beginning. Okay, not that we shouldn't have pension rights. No one's trying to take pension rights away from anybody and pension payments that are deserved. Whether they should be extensive as is, well, that's the question, of course. And that was the problem we had. We took those away from non-reps right away. We took it away for starting in 2008. Any new hires no longer have a backdrop. I don't know if it's ever been reported very well in the press, but that's something that's been taken away for a long time now. And of course, the unions were very upset at that when I was personnel chair that we pushed that because it was an important thing to do. Extended sick leave was part of that package, mm-hmm. of course, too. We have good sick leave benefits. We have good pension rights. We need to grease them, and that's unfortunately what happened. But this board, and I've had great pains on this and very interested in this issue because we have worked everything on the law I think we can do. And I want to stand up for the board and stand up for what we've tried to do in this area. No new hires starting in 2008 anywhere will be able to get a backdrop anymore. So we've taken that situation away. But the next situation we have to look at is there a way to give legal pension rights that are deserved, but to cap. You don't have to be excessive. So I need to make those comments, and I did. Thank you. Thank
you, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Grady, given what was alluded to earlier as it relates to reviews as to what could have been done over the last 10 years, the Mercer case, you mentioned that there might be some funds in the litigation reserve fund. I'm interested in how much that would be, because I see no sense in us having a large amount of money going out to do something that the bottom line will be not too much can be done. So how much would that be?
I placed a couple phone calls to try and get an estimate from attorneys. I don't have a response yet.
Okay.
The attorneys that we're going to typically charge a lot more than we do in our office. Rough, just a semi-wild guess, maybe $20,000-$30,000. I don't know. Certainly under 50, but beyond that, I don't want to constrain it because I really don't know what the attorney's going to tell me. But. You know, if they're charging us $300 an hour and it's 100 hours, it's $30,000. I mean, I just don't know. there has been a lot of work done in this area in the past, and the attorneys we're going to should have familiarity, so it shouldn't be like reinventing the wheel.
Right.
So I would hope it actually would be less than that. But I just, right sitting here at this moment, can't really tell you.
Okay, a range of 20 to 30, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not 50, it's not 100,000.
Right, exactly. It is definitely not that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Seeing none.
Thank you.